Hey everybody, welcome back to The Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And this is episode number 208, actually, it is.
Yes, it is.
Very good. I almost said 9. I'm getting ahead of myself. You are. You know why? Because I'm looking forward to the last episode of the season.
You're probably not the only one.
But, for now, we'll do one last show. Before we get there. Actually, no, it'll be two more, won't it?
Two more after
this. It will be two more. Yeah. So, see, this is why, again, I say this every time, and I want to start the show the same way. Giving you guys an opportunity to get in here. So I'm going to do what somebody else called in the last show the infomercial, right?
start off with the infomercial.
Start off with the infomercial. Yeah, so if you'd like, you guys, please feel free to share this out, retweet, repost, re-everything, get all the other Sharks friends and family in here. It's a lot more fun. We've got more folks in here chatting it up, so please go ahead and do that. And of course, hit that subscribe button if you have not done so, with the notification bell. Let you guys know when we're going to go live. And the reason that I'm bringing that up right now is because, again, we just said we're going to go live for the next 1 week, and we actually meant 2 weeks, so even we don't get it right sometimes. It's great when you've got something that just tells you, isn't it? Just like a timer that goes off.
I wish it would tell us.
There it is with the bell. That's actually not the sound you're going to hear, but you're going to hear it again anyway. Super producer Jason, loving the bell tonight. Aaron, we've also want to make sure that we let people know that they can support the show, of course, in numerous different ways. One, of course, being the Super Chat function right at the bottom there. Click that. Or you can go to Venmo at The Fin Factor, and either one of those, you put a comment in there, and we'll read it out live on the show. Also, of course, you can go to thefinfactor.com, check out any of the merch that we have for sale to support the show that way. There's hats, shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts. We've got adult diapers. Yeah, so there's lots of cool things. And now, some of this might not actually be on the website, but you should definitely check to see which ones are there.
We forgot to put this up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, you can leave that there. That's fine. It looks pretty good. Hopefully.
Too soon.
Hopefully we get a much bigger one in the years to come.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. So, in any case, I think we gave them ample time to get the stragglers in here. But again, if you could share us out to your Sharks friends and family, certainly would appreciate that. Aaron, we had 3 games this past week, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. We want to try to get through some of these games quickly because the last time we did a show and somebody commented on how we took too long to get to the meat of it. And I know our thumbnail says, about the Sharks prospect. We'll get to those guys in just a bit. Right. So let's try to blast through these as quickly as we can. Okay, so the Sharks against the LA Kings. The bitter rivalry, not quite as bitter as it used to be.
Not like it used to be.
No,
I think
not at all.
Vegas has taken over the LA rivalry.
Absolutely.
I think mainly because LA missed a couple years of playoffs when the Sharks were still in the playoffs. Yeah. So that kind of, and Vegas is just terrible. So they took over the coveted rivalry spot with the San Jose Sharks. So yeah, not as much bite. I mean, there still is the, Bay Area versus LA mentality carrying over from baseball for the Giants and the Dodgers, but not nearly as bad. In fact, I think in this game, it was a home game for the Sharks, and there's a lot more LA fans, kind of louder LA fans than there were Sharks fans in this game. But that's what you get for, was it a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night game? I can't even remember what night it was on. But yeah, Sharks lose 2-1 in this one. They gave up 2 goals back-to-back once again. I feel like they must be leading the league in this. And I don't even know how you quantify this. Goals, 2 goals scored in under a minute or 2 goals scored in less than 2 minutes against.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, not a lot of teams do this, and I feel like the Sharks have been doing it all season, where they give up 2 goals very quickly. In fact, this one was I'm going to look up the actual time here. Wow, less than 30 seconds apart.
Wow.
So they give up 2 goals in the first period, boom, boom, and then come back in the third period and score 1. Klim Kostin with 2 minutes left in the game, less than 2 minutes left. So they did push back, but this, go ahead.
Sorry, can you put that back on the screen? Okay, Kellen Foster says, good evening, everyone. Hurdle looks a little skittish in his first night as a knigget. Of course, reference to Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the knights, but spelled, sounded out phonetically.
Knigget. I saw that picture, too, of him. They're announcing that he's going to be back in the lineup. It just looked weird. First of all, they used the Sharks photo, which I get, because they don't have an in-game photo of him yet in gear, but he practiced with them in their gear, so
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like that.
Yeah, you know, obviously not a huge fan of seeing a guy that was drafted by the Sharks and played to the ripe old age of 30 in somebody else's kit. But, you know, hey, that's the business sometimes. You know, you get one of your fan favorite players and they end up playing on somewhere else and trying to win. And I can't blame them for that. I can't blame them for, you know, probably wanting to go. You know, I don't think it was one of those things where it's like, well, you know, if you could move me, I'd be okay with it. He's probably wanted to go, and that's fine. But yeah, it hurts a little bit seeing him in a different jersey, and it hurts a lot more seeing him in a crusty, gross Vegas Golden Knights jersey. So
wait for those golden helmets to come out.
Yeah, not a fan.
It's just gonna look terrible.
Not a fan at all. So in any case, speaking about the rest of the Kings game here, at least the Blackwood you thought played well, and of course Kleem the Dream, Costin.
Kleem the Dream.
I'm going with it, buddy. It's either Kleem the Dream or Mr. Kleem. You can take your pick. Or you can use them both. You're welcome.
Does he look like me? A shaved head?
No, I don't think he does. No.
That would make more sense.
Yeah? If it was Mr. Kleem?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Kleem the Dream. That's what I'm going with. There you go. Anything else you wanted to say about this?
Just Blackwood played very well. He had some really good saves in this game and kept the Sharks in it for the entire time. I mean, the Sharks came back and they didn't give up an empty net goal, but they were pressing the last couple of minutes. And it was one of those games that just slogs on, you know? It's just boring. And
yeah.
LA is a very good team. That they're a team made for playoffs. They're a team that's made to get down and dirty and win 2-1 like this, and can win 2-1 or 2-0. You know, like hold that lead and not give it up, because those goals came early in the first period, so they had to hold on for the whole game like that, and they did. And this is the difference between a different kind of a build of a team of again, like a playoff team. Like this team, they probably won't win as many games in the regular season, but they're going to go deep in the playoffs with that kind of play. So a boring kind of slugfest. And I mean, Blackwood ended up with 926 save percentage in the loss.
Nice.
So he did very well. And again, I think the future looks bright with him in goal. I think he gives the Sharks an opportunity to win just about every night that he plays in, assuming they don't leave him high and dry too many times.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about Sharks' goaltending prospects and that kind of thing a little bit later on, but I have to say, again, for the season, he's been one of the bright spots. Mm-hmm. Another huge bright spot, obviously, for me. Aaron, why have I said we're watching this season? What's the main thing this season that's keeping me coming back and watching the Sharks?
The young guys and how they're progressing.
Absolutely. The young folks, specifically, Eklund.
Yes.
This guy is the reason for me that this is an entertaining game to watch. Mm-hmm. Anytime that where you're watching Sharks hockey, because you don't know what he's going to do. Even if he doesn't put the puck in the net, he has flashes and flares and things that make it entertaining. And this game against the St. Louis Blues, no exception. The Sharks end up going on to win this one. Now, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Sharks winning games, but we can afford a win here and there. We'll go ahead over those numbers a little bit later on. So this one, not so bad to pick up a W here. But William Eklund getting that hat trick for the 3-2 overtime win against the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. The best thing about this there's actually a couple of really good things about this, but one of the great things about this, I will say, it was hat giveaway night. Straw hats.
It always happens that way, doesn't it?
Well, actually, it's twice that it's happened. So Mike Ricci scored a hat trick on hat giveaway day.
Oh my God, what was that, 98,
23 99? Years prior, almost to the day. It was the day before.
Wow.
Yeah, so on hat giveaway day.
That's the only 2 days that's ever happened?
I think that's what they were telling me.
I swear there was a game where Chichu scored. I think he had 5 hat tricks that season at home. I remember losing a lot of hats that season, and I swear that was one of the nights was the giveaway. And I was happily giving away that hat because it was so terrible. It was so, like, just such a cheap hat. I was like, I don't want this. And threw it out.
Well, this one looked pretty sweet. It was a nice big straw hat.
Yeah.
Perfect for throwing, like a big old frisbee, right? So, tons of these things hit the ice. They said they had bags and bags and bags of these hats just stuffed and pulled off to the side. And I think Thomas Bortolo takes one of them, puts it on Eklund's head.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was the OT winner, so...
Right.
that's the end of the game with
that's
him.
It's nice because they got to celebrate for a little bit longer. They didn't have to rush to clean up all the hats. They could really just soak it in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Happens
at home. It's great.
Pretty cool stuff.
It's a feel good story for a terrible season, right?
It's what we're here for, right?
Right.
ding! So two of these goals, power play goals. Was there anything specific you wanted to bring up about them being power play goals? I didn't actually get a chance to see how he put these in. I was unfortunately down south for a lot of these games, doing some roller hockey tournament stuff with the kids.
One of them was a one-timer. One of them was a rebound. He kind of skated around the net, and there was a rebound, and he went to the net instead of just keep skating around the net, mm-hmm. and was power in the play. Right place at the right time. Yeah, both power play. And it was kind of a, I don't want to say quite a garbage goal, because he wasn't like sitting out front, he was to the side, but it just popped out to the side, and boom, he put it away. And then the overtime goal, I think it was a 2-on-1, if I remember correctly, and he shot it instead of passed and just put it away. So kind of a hodgepodge of goals here by Eklund, and obviously a great game and one of his best games to date.
Yeah, I mean, the guy can do it any which way you like. Like you said, he carries it around behind the net and drives the net on one of those goals. Another one, the one-timer. We talked about this before with Eklund and his one-timer, and I cannot wait to see Haltonen getting him on this team on the opposite side, because then you've got a couple of cannons. Yeah. On the left and on the right, because we've seen Eklund do this now a couple times over, where he's just standing there ready, cocked and loaded, and when that shot comes off, it's an NHL shot.
Yeah.
So good on him getting it off the one-timer, driving the net, and then simply a 2-on-1 where he doesn't have to make a pass, nothing fancy. He just straight beats a goalie on this shot. So, just an electric player. I'm so glad that this is the pick that they decided to go for. I'm glad he fell to us.
No kidding. What, I feel very lucky that he fell to number 7.
Really? Yeah. I mean, honestly, what a fantastic pickup. Mm-hmm. And he's just been dazzling since he's been in Teal. Really, that's the word for it. He's just dazzling.
I honestly think the development of him, keeping him out of the NHL for the last two seasons, has helped him, because he's rounded out his game better to the point where he's not a defensive liability. And coaches are going to trust him, give him bigger and more minutes, and he's making plays like this now. Now that he's kind of got that stuff down, he can, he doesn't have to think about his offense. It's just there, and all the other pieces are kind of come together. And his improvement this season it's cool to watch in the very beginning how, he was good, but he wasn't like how he is right now.
And comfortable.
Yeah, that's a great word for it, comfortable. It's fun. He is fun to watch when he's on the ice every shift.
Yeah,
something's going to happen every time he has a puck. It's electric. It's cool.
So the other part of this that was, you used to use the word cool, perfect, Devin Cooley.
Yeah.
Cooley getting his first win of the season.
Los Gatos native.
There
Devin
you go.
Devin Cooley.
Yeah, sing his praises, man. There you go.
There's his picture. This kid was... kid, he's 21, but he was in the...
He's a 20, kid to us, buddy.
Not 21.
That's half our age. Come
27.
On.
He played for the Junior Sharks and then moved around, and he was signed by Buffalo, I think is where he came from. We're still waiting. He's still waiting on his pads. I don't know if you noticed in the game, but his pads are very, very blue. Buffalo Sabres blue. He got his helmet, though. His helmet was done. It was pretty cool.
So he got the mask of his helmet. The back part was still blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was... Oh.
I mean, look, there may be some sort of a pattern there that I don't
maybe.
Know, but it was blue, the back of his helmet. The front was a Sharks paint job, but the back, definitely not. So anyway,
he had a great game, and his parents were there, and I don't know who else, but he had a bunch of family there and friends and stuff, so it was really cool. But he did make NHL history here.
Oh.
So this is a tweet from Darren Stevens, which you should follow Shark Stats on Twitter. SJ Sharks' Devin Cooley became the first California-born goalie in NHL history to record a win for any California-based NHL franchise, including the Seals.
French fries,
yes. NHL French fries. We're French here. So, just a cool stat. I mean, he's not the first California-born goalie to get an NHL win, but the first California-born goalie to play for a California team and get a win, which is pretty cool. So homegrown talent, and goalie too.
Absolutely.
I think that's kind of that's a position I don't feel like you would see a lot of, maybe.
That's funny because what's it? Dustin Wolf is the other guy, right? He's from Gilroy, I think.
Yeah, but I think he moved. I don't think he still lived in Gilroy, did he?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah. But yeah, that's another kid that's going to be in the NHL down the road. He's still pretty
young. More full time, yeah.
He's 20, 21, 22, mm-hmm. still pretty young. So he's got some time to ripen, and he looks like he's going to be the future in Calgary mm-hmm. In a couple more seasons.
The Sharks go on to sweep the series, the season series against
St. Louis. Is that weird?
What is going on?
St. Louis can't get a win against San Jose? The only team in the NHL that couldn't get a win.
You know, again, it just goes to show that hockey is not necessarily about where you are in the standings and saying, oh, we should beat this team. Sometimes it's rock, paper, scissor. Like, literally, sometimes it's rock, paper, scissor. And sometimes you're the rock and the Sharks are paper and you lose. It's every single time. That's what happened.
St. Louis is fighting for a wild card spot right now for the playoffs.
Probably not anymore.
Not going to make it.
Not going to make it anymore.
I mean, they're still hanging there. I mean, 6 points right there. That's the difference.
Yep.
You beat the Sharks in those three games, and they're at 93 points, and they bump Vegas and out of their spot.
Exactly.
So, yeah, way to go, St. Louis. I guess a broken clock is right three times a day, not twice a day.
Broken hockey team. Anyway, Sharks then take on the Arizona Coyotes, losing this one by a score of 5-2. But
that was an empty netter in there. So
was that?
It was an empty net.
Okay, so 4-2 with an empty net. See, I like how we do this.
Yeah.
When it's the Sharks, no, it would have been 5-2. I don't care if it was empty net or not, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so this one here, Colin Graf picks up his first NHL point, correct?
Yes.
And it is an assist. Now, the scouting on this guy has been more that he's kind of that playmaker. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit, actually, pretty much right after this. Yeah. So it's fitting that his first point would be an assist as opposed to a goal because that is his game. He's a playmaking type. He sees the ice. He sees open passing lanes. He finds the shooting lanes as well. But by all accounts, he's a quick decision maker who moves the puck really well.
Yeah, I don't know if people are wondering why he was never drafted because he was undrafted. And then he became this hot prospect that all these NHL teams wanted. During his draft when he was 17 and it was kind of their draft age, he was very small. He was 5'7", 5'8" maybe. And, you know, if you have skill, you might get drafted that small, but they'd want you to get a lot bigger. And he kind of had a late growth spurt because by now he's 6'1" or 6'2", I think.
Okay.
So he definitely grew. He just grew later than most kids. So he missed out on the draft. He's 6'1", 194 pounds. That's pretty good size. That's decent for a young kid that's 21 now. But he always kind of had the skill. I don't think his skating was great, but it's gotten a little bit better. But he talked to, 25 teams, I think, were interested, including the Sharks. So almost the entire league wanted to sign this kid. He was Hobie Baker finalist 2 years in a row. Hobie Baker is the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy for hockey, in case you weren't sure what that even meant. But he was in the running for basically the MVP of the NCAA 2 years in a row. Granted, he's older. He's 21 versus Celebrini, who is still 17.
Yeah.
So there was a big difference there. There you go. He was 5'8", 145 pounds during his draft year. That's very small.
Yeah.
Which is why he went undrafted. So what'd you say? You put in some notes here. You want to read those?
Well, it's just that, you know, again, we wonder why, you know, this is a guy that's from the NCAA, and we're talking about Will Smith, he drafted. Macklin Celebrini will be drafted. Right? And then why is this guy coming out of NC2A and there's no draft? Well, he was actually passed on draft, his draft eligibility, as we just talked about, right? Just very small is what it came down to. So him being 20 years old, he was linked to the Florida Panthers, actually, when he was 20. They were thinking about signing him. He decided he wanted to go back to school, get his degree. So he played another year at Quinnipiac. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Quinnipiac.
Not going to work anymore. So anyway, he finished schooling there, basically. And then when he got out of that, which was like, 2 weeks ago? Whatever it was, a week ago. He then decided he was going to sign with the Sharks. Now, again, there was, like, I think, somewhere between 25 or so teams that were interested. He narrowed it down to 6 teams that were very, very serious for him. And then from there, he picked the Sharks. One of those 6, actually, Florida Panthers, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Anyway, he picked the Sharks. And I think we heard him talking saying that, you know, they were very honest with me. They were very upfront with me. And I'm thinking, okay, I think most teams would want to be honest with you, but that was something that resonated with him. Great. And I think also just he was going to get the opportunity to play and burn that first year was probably another big part of it, right? So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity on the Sharks for a young, solid player, somebody who's very promising, to be able to come in and get that experience right off the hop. And then, you know, knowing that you've got other guys that are coming in that are about your age, it wouldn't be difficult to see this as, again, we've said this, the Colorado effect, right? Having all these guys that are around the same age, all coming up at the same time, lots of high skill. There's a lot of potential to do a lot of damage for many years. And, you know, a young free agent like this can probably see into that and realize, yeah, hey, this is a good opportunity to get in now.
Well, he said he sat down with his agent and went through all the teams and went through all the depth charts, did a very, very in-depth. It wasn't just a kind of, oh, I kind of like the Sharks' colors. It was, they went through everything and said, okay, this is going to be my career path. Which way, which team is going to get me the furthest in the NHL? And going back to what we've always said on the show, players don't really care. They don't have allegiances to teams. They want to play in the NHL. Now, we're talking everyday players, not the superstar players, because sure, they can dictate kind of where they want to go, but everyone else that's on your second, third, fourth lines, defensemen that are people in the minors that are trying to get in, they don't care what team they're on. So he went through and with his agent and goes, okay, San Jose gives us the best opportunity. They're not promising anything. That, again, going back to the truth, what Quinn talked to him, he said, this is, Quinn used to be a recruiter when he was coaching in college, and he was like, if any coach promises you at whatever level that you're going to get top power play minutes and, you know, whatever else, give you everything you wanted, run away from them as fast as you can, because you don't want to be on that team. You're not earning that. You're not going to put in the hard work because it's already given to you. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to earn it. You're not going to play well. You want to be able to have an opportunity to make that first, you know, top power play, but you don't want anything handed to you because the hard work won't come. And that's kind of what Quinn told him. Like, yes, you have an opportunity to come here and you can play and become part of something that's growing, because this, like, you're seeing the players that are going to be coming in. You're seeing the depth chart. You're seeing how much cap space there is. So how much more room for more free agents are going to come in, whatever else. They're going to have money to pay you when you get to your next contract. That was also a factor, was he would be playing now, not being sent to the minors. And so the first year of his entry-level contract is getting quote-unquote burned.
Right.
He's going to be using up an entire year's worth in the next 2 weeks of games. So again, that gets him closer to being a restricted free agent, which gives him basically a bridge contract to get to his next big contract. So potential to get more money quicker than he would elsewhere. So a very in-depth analysis and decision made by him, his agent, his family, whoever else he was with. But yeah, the Sharks won out over 25 teams. It's incredible.
Yeah, and he was, by all accounts, the top prize, considered the top prize of collegiate free agents. So for the Sharks to go out and be able to make it enticing for this guy to bring him in, it's very promising and encouraging for other free agents outside of being, you know, restricted free agents, or, you know, the unrestricted guys, the older guys. It's promising seeing that we're attracting young talent that wants the opportunity to play, and being able to say, hey, you know what? Some of these older guys that are maybe on the UFA market, a lot of times they don't want to come to a team that's going through this rebuild. But again, you see the level of talent that they're bringing in. If this was the top guy, this was the big prize when it comes to collegiate hockey free agents, and the Sharks were able to land him, that should say something about the organization. That should say something about where this guy thinks his career is going to go by being with this team. And I think it doesn't take a genius to see that there's a lot of good young talent that's going to be coming up, and I don't think it's going to be too hard to attract some of the older UFA talent. Maybe not the superstars, but again, the types of guys that Mike Greer wants for this team, the blue-collar guys, the what do you call it? The character guys, the ones that are going to help set the culture, those hard workers, the Nico Sturms of the team, those guys I don't think are going to be shying away from the Sharks just because they had some bad seasons. I think it's going to be one of those things where they see it as a good place to kind of revitalize their career or become part of a winning team in a short amount of time, hopefully. But we'll see how that goes. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was that it was interesting that they asked him, what's the biggest difference between collegiate hockey and pro hockey? Because he's done practices with the Sharks now.
Yeah.
And what is it that we've always heard?
Speed.
We've always heard speed. Every single time, they're quick, faster.
Not top speed.
Yes.
The speed of the game is faster.
Even the top speed, but yes, the quickness.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much more quickness. Every single person can dangle you in this league. Even the most defensive defenseman has masterful control over the puck when you're trying to take it away.
Yeah, you have less time with the puck than you think you do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the speed of the game has always been the thing. But the first thing he said, in fact, the only thing he said, he didn't even bring up speed, he said was the strength.
Huh.
So that, to me, is very interesting as well. If it's just a strength thing, because... they always work on strength and conditioning, so he's going to get stronger over time. You know, in terms of the speed of the game, if that's not bothering him, if he thinks that the speed of the game is okay and it's he can keep up with it and it's just the strength part of it, I mean, he's going to bulk up. He's going to get stronger. So this could be another really good signing here for Mike Greer.
Yeah, I agree. And going back to the strength thing, I don't think he means, you know, like – lifting weights kind of strength. It's more of what Quinn always preaches is, like, even to Eklund, going to those corners and winning those pucks, you don't have to knock the guy off the puck.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to strong enough use your body and get in there and get into the dirty work. Yeah. I'm sure that's what he means more than, you know, just these guys are strong kind
of. Well, no, but, and that's just it. That's what I'm saying is with the strength of the game. Because, again, when you're battling for a puck with someone, it's amazing, and I talked with my oldest son about this all the time, is just like that. I'm not expecting you to body check anybody, because first of all, you can't in this thing anyway, but I'm not expecting that. But what I'm expecting is, you know, you're getting low, you're leaning in. When they're trying to bump you, you don't just and take it and get knocked. You kind of give it back. The strength that is involved in that,
right?
That's what he's talking about, obviously, of course. But it's not like, oh, yeah, they all just lift lots of weights.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
they're so buff.
They're crazy. Like, wow. They're crazy, bro. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah.
He's also coming into the season, towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
And these guys are in peak condition right now because they've been playing, not just practicing, but playing games and having game speed for 75 games now.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, it's incredible. I remember at Sonoma State when someone would get out-muscled off the ball in soccer, everyone on the bench would just yell, weight room! It was just a funny thing.
But see, no, exactly that, right? Yeah. So the strength in terms of getting bumped off the puck, getting shoved off, you know, into the wall, getting pinned into the wall and you can't move, right? Those types of things that we're talking about with strength. So if that's the type of thing, again, he's going to hit the weight room, he's going to get stronger, and he's going to be able to handle the strength of other players better, being more balanced, being stronger and able to shove those guys off, you know, when they're attacking him. So if the speed of the game is not bothering him, then this could be very, very promising. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I'm just saying he did not say speed.
Right. It's going to be a great trial run in a way for him, because he's gonna come back, you know, he's gonna go into the summer knowing what to work on, knowing what to expect now, because he's had a little taste of the NHL, and then work on that stuff in the summer, come back, maybe even bulk up a little bit more for that strength, and then come into training camp ready to go, and also already making friends on the team, so that's gonna be also helpful going into camp.
Yeah, so he's actually already got a friend on the team.
Does he have a roommate?
I don't know about roommate, but Henry Thrun, right? So it's funny because he said that Thrun actually picked him up and took him to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and hopefully he brings me back. They had a good chuckle with the reporters there. Yeah. It was pretty funny. But so he already knows Henry Thrun. Apparently they do 3-on-3 in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids actually do like 3-on-3 jamborees and stuff that's over at Shark's Ice. And it's, you just take a handful of friends, you know, and sometimes you don't even really have a goalie. You have somebody who's just throwing pads on, and it's like, who cares, you know? It's just supposed to be fun anyway.
Yeah.
So he probably did that with Henry Thrun. And then, of course, playing against Henry Thrun as well. So he knows him well enough, playing against him. He knows him well enough that he has him on his 3-on-3 team.
Yeah.
So they must be pretty decent buds. So, I think pretty cool.
When Chang interviewed him, I think he said Thrun was texting with him, too.
Yes.
About coming and joining the Sharks and how great it is and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting for young guys like that to come in here. Basically, he picked San Jose. He's in a rare position where he got courted by so many teams, especially for a guy he's not going to be top-line guy, at least not right away. I don't think he'll ever be. I don't think he's that good. But my point being, like, he kind of is that rare example of getting to choose where he wants to go. Now, imagine choosing San Jose over, let's say, Columbus, right? Not that Columbus was in the running. I'm just using a city that doesn't cost as much money as San Jose. So this guy's making entry-level contract, I don't know, $700,000-$800,000. You take off half for about taxes, another 10% for your agent fee. Now you're making $300,000-$400,000. Sounds like a lot of money.
It's not.
For people who don't live in San Jose, that's not a lot of money. It's nice, but you're not going to buy a house. No. You're not going to buy an apartment or a condo, nothing.
You're not going to buy a one-bedroom studio.
You might buy a car. Might. Like, you're probably bunking up. I bet you Thrun and him are living together if, I don't know what his situation is, I don't really care. But a lot of those guys end up living at Santana Row. They'll rent an apartment in Santana Row and share. Like, they'll have roommates and stuff. But anyway, it's... A lot of people are saying, you know, free agents don't want to come to San Jose because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of it. But I don't think that's always true either. That's a part of it, but that's not going to be the main part of the reason why people wouldn't come here.
Well, and I think let's go ahead and just launch straight into the next little part here, because this is kind of, if you recall from last week, guys, we talked a little bit about Pierre Maguire and it's called The Eye Test. His podcast called The Eye Test. I don't remember who his partner is on that show, but that's their podcast. And on that podcast, they had talked about how the Sharks rebuild is not going off the way that they thought it would go, or it's not just going off well at all in the first place. And this is one of the points that he brought up, right, what you were just talking about, that there's no free agents that are going to want to come here when the team is not winning so that they can pay a ridiculous amount of money for their living expenses. And he goes, and that's a real problem. Now, Chang had actually talked to Pierre Maguire on his show, on his podcast, Chang Peng, San Jose Hockey Now. If you don't know them, if you are not subscribed to them, please check them out. Chang does phenomenal work. He's one of the best writers anywhere, and he does great analysis and everything else. So he actually sat down with Pierre and Pierre's guy, whoever that is, and they were talking a little bit about his comments and whatnot, and that was definitely one of the things that Pierre had brought up. But before we talk a little bit about that, we're going to go ahead and do the roll call first. So go ahead and kick off what the roll call question is going to be.
Sure. Tell us what city you are watching from, and do you think Mike Greer is really turning this around, or do you think he's not doing a good job? I don't know. Do you think he's turning it around? Give us your comments.
Is the rebuild going the way that you think is intended, or do you think the rebuild is just going to flop? Like, this is not working rebuild. Is that what you think, or do you think that they're going in the right direction?
I think they're definitely going in the right direction, and I think Mike Greer came in here with this is one of the reasons why he won the job in the first place. He came with a plan. He's a man with a plan. He came in and he said, this is what's wrong with the team. This is how I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
This is how long it's going to take. This is how much money it'll probably cost. We expect to be a competitive playoff team in X amount of years. Now, of course, they don't say this publicly.
Right.
But there's no way he just got this job on a whim. There's not. They liked what he had to say. They liked what his ideas were, what his plan was. He hired way more staff than I think they'd ever really had before in both development side and drafting and everything else in the front office. Now, there's a very interesting quote here. This, again, this is from Chang's tweet. I don't think you pulled this, Jay, did you? I can read it anyway. But Quinn had an interesting quote on the rebuild. Oh, he does have
it,
of course.
Look at him with the tweets.
All right. This like... This goes to everything I've been saying and preaching and talking about Greer. This is from Quinn. We're in a lot better position than we were 2 years ago. We knew that this was probably going to be the year that was going to be the most painful. Things are going to turn around here quickly. Now, a lot of people were kind of throwing shade on the word quickly there, saying, right, this is not going to be a quick turnaround. But Greer's been in for 2 years, not even two full years yet. And the amount of players that have come... that have left, and the contracts that have left, and the amount of players that have come in, and draft picks, and draft capital, and everything else, has been astonishing. Now, again, not the Chicago rebuild, where fire sale, everything must go right now. That's kind of a scorched earth rebuild. Yes. And I think that's what a lot of people wanted to see in San Jose, and it's not what happened. So, again, I'm going to go back, or I want to see in maybe another 2 years and compare Chicago with San Jose, because they roughly started the same time of the rebuild. It's kind of right when they lost Kane and Taves, and they retired and moved on and whatever. And they did the scorched earth method to get Bedard. Now, getting Bedard obviously is going to kickstart things more than San Jose did. But two different ways of doing it, and I'm curious to kind of watch that. Now, here's another tweet here. I know Jason loves these tweets, but this is from Big Head Hockey. This is Young Sharks additions in just the last year. Will Smith, Quinton Musty, Colin Graft, Fabian Zetterlund, Shakir Mukmadulin, David Edstrom, Jack Thompson, Kasper Heltonen, a 24 first round from Pittsburgh, a 25 first round from Vegas, a 24 second round from New Jersey. This team is getting a lot younger pretty quickly. Now, not scorched earth, but that's a lot of young talent coming in, and a lot of higher end young talent coming in. Now, obviously, Will Smith's going to be leading that group. I still think Musty's going to turn out great. Some people are saying he might not. Go ahead.
Ryan Sontag hitting us with a $5 super chat. And, of course, his comment says, ding, 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 ding. I got all five dings. I just want you to know, I read the whole comment, Ryan Sontag. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Do appreciate it. Aaron, what else do you have to say about ding, 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 ding?
Thank you.
Is it awesome. A ding per dollar?
I think that's what it is.
Ding per dollar?
There you go.
Ding, ding,
I think he's asking you to hit the bell, Super Producer Jason. Is that what it is?
He likes the bell, apparently.
He likes the bell, yeah.
I think this is rock bottom. I think this season was the worst one that they're going to have. I don't think it's going to get worse. I think it's only going to get better.
It has to.
Moving out so many people and bringing in so many more young guys, they're going to have... Now it's going to be like a thing of growing pains of the young guys coming in. But and they're all not going to be coming into the Sharks right away either. But go ahead. You had some other notes in here too.
No, I mean, it's... Again, I'm kind of going back to the comments that Pierre Maguire had. And what he was saying was that the rebuild's not going well in San Jose. And I'm sorry, but if you take a look at the tweet that we just put up, this is what a rebuild is. A rebuild is getting rid of Erik Karlsson, getting rid of Brent Burns, getting rid of, unfortunately, Tomas Hertl, getting rid of and not signing for $10 million Timo Meier, right? This is what a rebuild is. It's taking your stud veteran players and moving them, preferably with 1 year left, but sometimes with 6 years left.
Holding onto some cash.
Just, you know, whatever is what it is. So it's getting rid of these guys that are going to help your team win, because it's not about winning right now. You're not going to the playoffs. You haven't been to the playoffs. We don't need you right now. So you ship those guys off and you bring back futures. This is exactly what he's doing. I don't understand the concept of it not going well when you take a look at the list. Now, maybe there's no, you know, there's no Jack Eichel-esque type player on there. Will Smith, I think, is kind of in that category, maybe, right? Maybe there's no superstar blue chip, immediate jump into the lineup, Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid, Connor type players that are in that lineup. Maybe not. But you know what? Those are the players that are available to us, and that's the best he was able to do. So regardless of who else is out there in years past or years to come, this is what he was able to do now. And I would say, taking a look at that list, he's done a hell of a job bringing in futures. He's not hanging on to any of these older guys, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I was against the Tomas Hertl trade. I don't think he's an old guy. And I don't agree with Sheng on this one. I actually agree with myself, believe that or not. I think you could have just held
Shocker.
On. I think you just could have held on to him for at least another year. Yeah, his stock's going down. Nah. But as he's 30 to 31, his stock's not going to move that much. I don't get it. It's okay. It's happened. It's done. The point is, we unloaded a right now winning player to get what? Futures. That is exactly what you do in a rebuild. And I think if you look at what we got in Edstrom and the first... I think Edstrom is a pretty promising guy. He's projected to be like a third-line center. And the first is whatever we decide to do with it. We could trade up and get something better. We can trade across and get a player or a prospect that maybe another team isn't as high on anymore for whatever reason, just needs a change of scenery. I think we've had a couple of guys work out like that for us this season, right? I mean, Zetterlund being one of them, Zadina being another one of them. I think we've had guys that I would happily trade a pick to get that player who's right on the cusp of being in their prime and they just need to change the scenery. I think we've got a lot of good players from all the moves that Mike Greer has made, and I just can't sit here and say the rebuild's not going well in San Jose.
I don't think there's really been any busts for any of the trades that he's made.
There has been one bust in my mind, and I will remember the name and get back to you in just a second.
From a trade.
No, not a trade. From it was
from
signing.
A trade.
Yes, not from a trade. From
no,
a signing.
Signing, no. Yes. Yeah. Who? But from the trades.
Who? Who's the signing?
For the signing?
Yeah. Who is it? Come on, you know it. Hoffman.
Hoffman was part of a trade.
Okay, then part of a trade.
He was a dump in the trade.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Then no. I don't see any issues.
Yeah. I think he's done an incredible job getting pieces where he looked like he was on the wrong end of the deal, and now, in hindsight, already is already looking like, especially the New Jersey trade,
yeah,
looking like gangbusters here. I mean, took both their goalies, Blackwood and Vanacek, right? For Kakanen,
yeah.
You trade out Kakanen to get Vanacek. I don't know. I just.
Especially since Blackwood has been on fire. If Blackwood was like, he's serviceable, then okay. But he's been crushing it.
People are saying Lindblom. Lindblom is, but that was a signing, not a trade. That was a reclamation. That was a...
Oh, I forgot. Lindblom was Greer.
Yep.
Lindblom was
Greer. He signed him as a free agent, though. Yes. That wasn't part of a trade. I was talking about trades.
That was an absolute bust of a signing, 100%.
Peter St. John brings 100%. Up a really good one, too. Noah Gregor. Letting him go, I think, was a mistake.
Shut up. He doesn't move the needle, and you know it. Come on. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. People are thinking the Sharks will make playoffs in 26-27. That's when I think. That's another three seasons from now. I think they'll be, at that point, they'll be a bubble playoff team.
That's like 200 episodes from now.
If they get Celebrini, I think it'll go faster by a year.
I think it doesn't matter.
I think it does.
I think we get there in 2 years.
It also depends on who they sign in free agency in that, not next season, but the one after.
Guys, I'm gonna be a big one. Recklessly optimistic. You know me, okay? I remember it was four seasons ago, whatever it was, and I was like, the Sharks are making the playoffs, and they didn't make the playoffs. And the next season, I said, the Sharks are making the playoffs, and they didn't make the playoffs. I mean it this time, guys.
5 years.
That's a lot of lost bets.
We've made the playoffs once since this show started.
Yeah. But what a playoff run that was.
What a way to go out, huh?
What a way to start.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Anyway.
One person that we didn't talk about, and I don't even
there's
have
a lot
the
of
notes,
guys we didn't talk about.
Well, I don't even have the notes, is Bisted. He came up and played for the Barracuda this week.
Yes, he
and
did.
And his first game had 2 goals.
Good for him.
2 goals and an assist, maybe?
I know he had 2 goals. I don't know what other points he may have had, but I know he put 2 goals in, and that was a direct response to Aaron saying that he was a 4C at best. 3C, 4C.
In the NHL.
I know. He was a direct response to that. He says, oh, yeah? 2 goals, first game, buddy.
You should be scoring that as a fourth-line center in the AHL.
Whatever. So,
Who's leading the AHL? Who's leading the Barracuda in scoring?
Oh, Nathan Todd?
Yeah.
Well, okay, but there's a lot of guys that were there that got moved. Let's get real.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just saying. You telling me if Bordalo and Eklund weren't playing for the Barracuda still that they wouldn't be ahead of Nathan Todd?
Gushin's in second, so that's good.
I mean, I'm not as high on Gushin. Actually, if you could scroll just a little bit, we'll take a look at the prospects here. Because the Sharks, I feel like, again, going back to Mike Greer and the job that he's doing, I feel like this is... Oh, thank you, Nick. Says 2 goals and 1 assist. Yes, for the debut. I feel like this is the deepest Sharks prospect pool ever. I mean, have we ever had this many prospects that are just like, man, this guy hits, this guy hits?
That's the other thing I was going to say about Greer. The draft 2 seasons ago when he first got hired, I don't think he really was making... He wasn't getting his guys, right?
Right.
He had to go off of all the work that was done the entire year before. You're not going to take an entire year's worth of scouting reports
and flush it
and go, throw these away. A whole year's worth of work, right?
What do
they
know
anything.
Yeah.
I know everything. No, that's nobody does that. If they do, then they wouldn't have that job very long.
Right.
So I don't consider that draft 2 years ago really many of his picks. So last year's draft was kind of his first one where he had all of his scouting staff, all of everything, every staff, who he wanted, minus the Russian scout that he ended up firing a couple weeks ago. But my point being, like, that draft, they've already hit on, I feel like, four of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Four of those guys look like they're, I mean, Will Smith's obvious.
So, well, let's just go through some of the names, and then we'll separate them based on if they were, you know, Greer's pick or not, right? Okay, so of the forward group, you've got the bigger names are Will Smith, Quentin Musty, Philip Biested, David Edstrom.
Biested was the year before.
No, I'm just saying these are the Sharks prospects.
I thought you were going through last year's draft.
So go through then we'll go through some of these names and go, okay, this is a guy that Greer brought in. This is what we had, right? So again, Will Smith, Quentin Musty, Philip Biested, David Edstrom, mm-hmm. who was acquired in a trade, mm-hmm. Daniel Gushin, Thomas Bordalo, Cam Lund, Kasper Haltinen, and Colin Graf most recently. So of those forwards, I think it's Will Smith, Quentin Musty, Edstrom was brought in. I want to say Colin Graf, obviously, and then I want to say Haltinen was already in the system.
No, he was drafted this last draft.
He was drafted in this last draft as well. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. So let's see, Smith, Musty, Edstrom.
Cagnoni is another one.
Yeah, but we're talking defense. Right. That's defense. That's defense. So Haltinen and Graf. So five out of like those nine names, whatever it is. I mean, these are the Sharks' top prospects. And in the 1 or 2 year of drafting, in the 2 years he's been as a GM, he brought in more than half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good job. I would say the rebuild's going okay.
You remember when he took over the job, everyone was like, nobody wants this job.
Yeah.
Because they have the worst prospect pool. They have the worst contracts. They have the worst everything. Like, who would want that job? It's like, come on, really? That's a challenge. That's like every GM's dream.
To be able to take the entire roster, make it your own org, and make it yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the time has run out on all of these contracts, all these big contracts. They need to go. They need to get out of here. And that's like a perfect time versus like coming into, let's say you're the new GM of the Kings and you're still in a playoff spot, right? You can't get rid of those guys. You can't make anything your own, really. You kind of have to let them play out and then eventually make it your own.
And let's go through the defensive guys, the top defensive guys. I guess I would still consider Henry Thrun like prospect.
Last year, he traded for him.
But I'm saying I would still consider him a prospect, even though he's getting NHL games and he's played like pretty much a season. Yeah. I still consider him a prospect, right? Yeah. So Henry Thrun, Shakir Mukhmudulin, Jack Thompson, and Luca Cagnoni. I hope I'm saying that right. I really want to have an interview with this guy just to ask him, how do you say your last name?
Bring us some Italian food.
Yeah, a cannoli and some spaghetti and meatballs, maybe a pizza slice. No,
is it cannoli or is it spaghetti? Is it a hard G or
lasagna?
We're going to get lasagna.
Real G's move in silence like lasagna. That's what Lil Wayne said, so I'm just saying.
And the Finn factor got canceled.
So... okay, of those names, this is great, listen to this. Of those names, how many of them are Mike Greer's guys? Four names. How many are Mike Greer's guys? All four.
Yeah.
So he brought in every single higher-end defensive prospect mm-hmm. that we have.
Yeah.
The rebuild is going fine in San Jose. You brought in five high-end forwards, and you brought in four... Fairly, when I say high-end, I mean prospect. Not like they're going to be starters in the league. No, I'm just saying in terms of prospects. These are good prospects. You brought in five forwards and four... You almost brought in an entire team.
I will be happy when they get a top blue-chip defenseman.
Sure.
Mukhmudulin's going to be good, but he's not going to be top-line pairing. He's going to be second pairing.
Yes.
Second power play minutes, which is fine. It's totally fine. Having someone like Makar, which obviously is not easy
good luck,
to get, right? But... my point being, like, someone like that caliber player, you need one of those superstar players on your team. Maybe not the defenseman position, but any position. Yeah. And I don't feel like the Sharks have that right now. Even Will Smith, I don't think he's going to be a superstar player. I think he's going to be an all-star, but not superstar. Celebrini, however, possibly could be. Now, I was looking at the guy from the Athletics, Wheeler, I think it's Scott Wheeler,
okay,
that does the rankings. Someone asked a great question. They said, how would you rank last year's draft class and this year's draft class they were mixed? Yeah. Like, where would they stand? Celebrini, he had right behind Bedard.
Yeah.
So he's ahead of the other three guys, or the big four from
Fantilli and Leo Carlson.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the caliber of where they would stand. Obviously not as good as Bedard.
Right.
But right below that. So that to me would be more of like Jack Eichel type player.
Yeah.
Like,
which I'm fine with.
All-star.
Fine with the Jack Eichel.
Borderline superstar.
Yeah.
Maybe if he wasn't, if he stayed healthy, he probably would have been more of a superstar than I guess he kind of became. But it's kind of a player like that.
Yeah, and I'm with you with the hope that there is a blue chip, very high-end defensive prospect on the horizon here, because by all accounts, you know, Mook Madulin, again, I'm with you. He's probably going to be, you know, a top four at best. And Henry Thuren, we've seen him kind of already, what he can bring. He's going to get better. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of seen what he's all about. Again, for me, not a top two, right? Not a top pairing type of guy. Jack Thompson seems very promising, but again, right now he's playing in the AHL alongside Mook Madulin. We don't really know how he's going to shake out, but again, he was pretty highly touted prospect, so happy with him. And again, with Luca Cagnoni, is that he's dynamic offensively, but he's tiny. He's like 5'8", 5'7", 5'8", something like that. So he's a very small guy, and he's maybe growing. I don't know. I mean, he seems like he's look, if what's his name, Colin Graf can go from, you know, 5'7" to 6'1" or whatever that was, you know,
maybe
he's 21. So however old Luca is,
he's
19,
I'm sure, and he's 5'9", 183.
Okay, so I mean, at 5'9", they're probably being generous there. He's probably a little bit smaller.
That's on
than
skates.
That. Yeah, on skates.
It's always on skates.
So if he's on the shorter end, but he's only 19, he's probably still going to be getting a little bit of size to him. So again, could be a little bit of a project there.
But he's not. He wasn't a first round draft. He was a fourth round draft.
Absolutely.
Right? And probably because of his size, his skill was probably in the late first round. But skill or size wise, he was seen kind of now as like a steal in the fourth round.
Yeah.
He probably should have gone based on his size a little earlier, but Sharks got a good one there. So I'm fine with it.
But you know, if Luca was Shakir's size,
right?
I think then you've got that prospect that everybody wants, right?
Oh my God. If he would be playing in the NHL right
absolutely
now if that was the case.
Absolutely. So hopefully, again, him growing a little bit and getting his opportunity in the show, because it sounds like, by all accounts, again, he's just a very good playmaking type defender, very offensively minded, can run a power play, all those things that you want from a high-end offensive talent on the blue line.
We should ask our good friend Dan Boyle what he thinks about
it. There you go. Yeah, that'd be good. So I'm with you, though. I think it'd be nice to have a blue-chip defensive prospect, but when you take a look at the goaltending, there are no goaltending prospects. Now, it's not a huge deal.
I don't think so.
Because you've got Blackwood,
right?
Who's not super old,
no,
right? He's what, 26?
I think he's 28.
28, okay. You've got him, and then you've also got Vitek Vanacek, who hasn't played a game for us yet.
Blackwood's 27 and Vanacek's 28.
27, 28. Okay, so still, I mean, we talked about goaltenders being taking a little bit longer to get there anyway, right?
Yep.
So I think with these two right now, good, they solidify the net. We don't need them right now. We need them in like 2-3 years. So hopefully, again, either that turns into a trade that brings somebody in, or it turns into an extension that has them there in their prime while our younger guys are starting to get towards their prime, right? So I don't think it's a huge issue to not have a blue-chip goaltending prospect in the pipeline right now, but definitely something that in terms of if you're looking at this as the rebuild's not going right, that's maybe one area where you can say they could be a lot stronger in terms of prospects.
And there's different ways of thinking about goaltending, whether to get a blue chip or not. Putting kind of your eggs in one basket for a blue chip prospect for goalies could make or break it, right? Like, you could spend a second round draft pick or even a first round draft pick on a goalie and then they don't pan out. That's awful. Whereas a first round draft pick on any other position, most likely they're going to make it to the NHL at some point. That's part of it, putting your eggs in one basket. But then I forgot where I was going with this, but just goalies in general, you could find them on the free agents of the list. But I know what I was gonna say. It's better to invest in a top end defenseman that's gonna get heavy minutes, like close to 30 minutes a night and playing 82 games versus a goalie that at best 60 games.
Yeah.
Right? The top goalies that play the most are only playing 60 to 65.
So you're taking your best player, quote unquote, out for 20, 30 games a season.
Yeah.
And then you get to playoffs, they can get fatigued if you don't. So I think teams, that's another reason why teams are leaning less on spending so much money on goaltending and also spending such high capital on goaltending.
Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky, the $10 million man.
No, hey, look, if Chicago can win a cup with Antiniemi in net, right?
That was their defenseman.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the... I'd rather go that route, too.
I think if you have the equivalent of Mackenzie Blackwood in net, I think you're going to be okay as long as you've got solid five guys in front of them on every shift. That's my take on that one. So, again, not too concerned that there's not a goalie prospect on the horizon here, but it's definitely one area. If you're going to make the argument that it's not going well in San Jose, you can say, okay, they don't have a goaltending prospect. Fine, you got me there. But other than that, Mike Greer has brought in, as we already showed, five at least prospects that are pretty solid prospects. On top of the ones that were already on that list that were given to him, gifted to him, if you will. I think we have quite a bit in the pipeline here, and I'm very happy with that.
I would include Zetterlund
in
that. And obviously Eklund. I don't think you have Eklund on this list.
Eklund's an NHLer, buddy. He's not a prospect anymore.
Yeah, even Zetterlund, too. But Zetterlund came via trade.
Yeah.
And at first, I was kind of like, who is this young guy? I guess he's a prospect. Who knows?
Who maybe is this tomato?
Out, right? Yeah.
Who is this human tomato? Yeah. He's so red all the time.
And speaking of, how many goals does he have right now?
Oh, God. I don't know. 24.
21. Ugh. He's at 21.
He'll end up with... Wait, what did we say?
25.
We said 25?
We were saying 20 a while ago.
20 goals and how many points?
40 points.
That's what we said?
We asked if he would get to 40.
Did he get to 40?
He's at 40. 21 goals and 19 assists.
It's good when you get something right, you know?
Guess who else is at 40?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Willie Eklund.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
He's at 15 goals, 25 assists.
Okay.
And Granlund is...
That tracks, man, because I've seen him with that puck, dude. Like, he's got a shot and everything, don't get me wrong, and he got the Hattie, that's great, but the man is a wizard, just making passes.
We were asking if Granlund was going to get to 60.
Yes.
He is at 54 right now. 12 goals, 42 assists.
I said no, he would get to 59, right?
We're going to have to go back and look. I think
I
so.
I said no, because remember you said you're going to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Right, fine. I said 66 more points in five games. He's tracking.
He could do it, but... Oh, yeah, and then Zadina, right?
Zadina is... He's fourth in scoring. He's right behind those guys at 13 goals, 10 assists. Oh, man,
everybody's calling us out because I didn't have Zadina on that list. But see, yeah, you know, and it's funny because I guess for me, I guess I felt like... I didn't put Zetterlund on there. I didn't put Eklund on there. I didn't put Zadina on there. For me, those guys are NHLers.
Yeah.
Although, again, you forget. These guys are young.
That's
go ahead. Read that.
Andy, man, Greer's done what this organization is needed to be done for 5 years. He's ripping the Band-Aid off and getting after it. Not everything is going to work out, but so far he's doing fine, in my opinion.
And you know what? Not everything has to work out. He's got so many prospects here on the horizon. If half of them work out, it's a good team.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. Again, don't understand it, how anyone can look at this and say it's not going well.
Because it's not the scorched earth method that Chicago did.
Sure, but even then, how's Chicago doing? Let's talk about that in just a minute here, because we're going to ask the question. 68 points was what we were talking about. Ugh. You said 68 points will be enough to be worse than the NHL. This is at the beginning of the season. How are we doing on that number there, Aaron? How are we doing?
Not good.
Okay, so there are four teams that are still under 68 points. The majority of them have either five or four games remaining, so not a whole lot going on there in terms of ability to close that gap.
Columbus needs two more wins and they're there.
Columbus is the closest at 64 points, and they have four games remaining.
Right.
So they need to hit on two of those games to get to 68 points, which would be the basement of what we thought, or you thought, at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Not at all the case. Okay, so there's that. They also have a 9-point lead on Anaheim. So when we're talking about that, Anaheim and Chicago and the Sharks are way farther down the line than 68 points. So the Sharks, very unlikely to hit even 50 points.
And we'll see exactly why in just a second. The other thing we were talking about was the Sharks hitting how many wins?
20.
Do you think we still have a chance of hitting 20 wins?
Absolutely.
Because the Sharks currently have 18 with five games less. You got to hit 2 out of 5. Looking at the percentage in terms of points percentage, it does not look good. Maybe we get 1 more out of the 5 based on the trend. But even if we get the 2, that's still only 20 wins. It's not, certainly not over 20 wins.
No.
Yeah. So to get to 21, you're talking about 3. Now you're talking more of the games that you're going to win. I just don't think we get there. No. Maybe with some overtime losses.
Maybe.
But
if they could push overtime.
Maybe. If they could push overtime.
Right. Shootout losses, yeah.
So 20 wins I don't think is going to happen. You think it might happen. But the standings right now, San Jose has 44 points. Horrid. Chicago has 51 points. Again, a 7-point differential for the math-inclined. Both teams have 5 games left. Okay? So the thing here is that we would have to go on a catastrophic win streak. Good timing. A catastrophic win streak to overtake Chicago for 31st place in the league. I think it's safe to say at this point the Sharks have locked up the highest odds of getting the first overall draft pick.
I'm not going to say it because they're not mathematically there, but alluding to our texts earlier, the tragic number for the Sharks is 3 more losses will guarantee them.
Yes.
The 3 more regulation losses will guarantee it for them. So 3 losses out of those 5 games, which is very doable. I mean, no, I don't. It's not plausible, but it could happen because, again, it's the NHL and we just swept the St. Louis Blues in the series. It's just weird. So, yeah, weird things happen. And the Sharks are going to be playing, let's see, who are they playing this week? Calgary, Seattle, Minnesota, and Edmonton. Now, the Edmonton game, that's the second to last game of the season. Edmonton, at this point, could bench all of their starters. They could, you know, day to day, why play against the Sharks? What's it matter? Like, who cares? So if they bench, like, McDavid and Draisaitl in those games, there's a chance the Sharks could win. Who knows? I'm not saying that they would or that they should, but I'm not saying that it won't happen either.
Okay.
It's possible.
So, for the upcoming games, we may as well just say what the upcoming games are.
Sure.
Then. Okay. So, for the upcoming games, we got 4 of them, and I want to remind you guys, once again, that we are going to go live on Tuesday.
Monday.
So. Yeah.
The Edmonton game's early. So, it's ending early.
Okay.
It's in Edmonton, so it starts at 6:30 instead of 7:30.
Okay. So, but we're doing a Monday show?
We're doing a Monday show next week. So okay. We'll be going on after that game's over.
So then it's only 3 upcoming games that we're talking about. We're not talking about the Edmonton 4 game.
No, we are, because we're going on after the Edmonton game.
It says Tuesday Sharks at Edmonton.
Sorry, I meant Monday.
So here we go. This is what I have to deal with. I hope you guys understand this, okay?
Now I got to make sure. Is that right?
I don't know. You better check. I'll go through the first couple games and we'll maybe get to the Edmonton game. I'm sure Nick is already like, it's on a Monday. What are you talking about? So, guys, Tuesday, I'm guessing, this Tuesday, tomorrow, Sharks, Ron, we are 2 losses from clinching.
It is Monday.
He says 2 losses from clinching. Okay. We're not 2 losses from clinching. We're 3 losses. No, 2, because we're 7 points behind. 2 losses away.
7 points?
Oh, we're 7 points behind. We can win 3 games.
Yeah.
However, Nick, I appreciate your...
2 losses. 2 is a tragic
If they're
number.
Overtime losses, then that's an issue. So, it's not
2
quite...
2 regulation losses.
Absolutely. We need 2 regulation losses. Okay.
We'll fix it in the edit.
So... we won't. Anyway.
Edit?
Speaking of fixing it, yes, it is a Monday game, so there you go. So, Tuesday, Sharks versus Calgary. Thursday, Sharks in Seattle. 7 p.m. game. Sharks on Saturday against Minnesota at home, and then again in Edmonton on Monday. We will be going live Monday after the game, correct? Yeah. Okay, so that leaves only 1 game left for the next show for the upcoming game.
So it should be a short show.
It should be. Well, no.
Finally.
No. The next show, we're going to be talking about these 4 games. It's the show after that. We'll have just the 1 game to talk about. So just so you guys are aware. But again, if you're subscribed, you don't have to worry about any of that. Hit the notification bell. We'll let you know when we're going on live here. Okay, so.
Brad Carr. I always love Aaron's enthusiasm, but I don't think we get to 20 wins this season.
Whoa! Aaron's enthusiasm? What am I doing on this side of the table?
It's only 2 more. 2 more wins. They could do it.
They could do it. They might hit 20 wins. They ain't getting... Are they getting 50 points? Do you think they're getting 50 points?
Were they at 44?
44.
No.
They're not getting 50 points.
No.
And even if they do get 50 points and they break the 20 wins that we're talking about, they still can't get past Chicago with just the 3 wins. They need more help, right?
And Chicago's 5-5 in their last 10, so they're actually putting together some wins.
Huge fan of the work. Thank you guys for the show. Thank you for the show. Gotta head to bed. Merry Tankathon. Yes, Kellen, thank you so much for being here. Do appreciate you, buddy. And good night, I guess. So there you go. So, Aaron, this is, again, the Monday show on Edmonton. We'll be after the game. So we'll be here probably talking just about exactly what we just saw. Hopefully, good news in terms of clinching that first overall, not first overall, the highest odds for the first overall draft pick in that show. So that would be nice. Aaron, I don't think we hit 50 wins. I don't...
20 wins?
I'm sorry. 50 points.
Yeah.
I don't think we hit 20 wins. I don't think Granlund gets to 60 points.
Jeez, man.
I'm just trying to be realistic.
You can take your hat off, man.
I'm just trying to be realistic. I'm saying what I think is going to happen.
Brutal.
Okay.
Go on. Just pile it on. Go.
That was it. That was it. Who's the other one? 45 points.
Well, they all kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
If they're going to put together 2 more wins,
yeah,
they're going to have to score more goals, absolutely, which means Granlund's going to get more points.
See? You're following right along, aren't you guys?
So I'm going to say, yeah, they do it.
I don't think they put all that together.
They get to 20 wins. Granlund gets to 60 points. I guess Zetterlund gets to 45 because he's at 40.
You think he will?
I think him and Eklund will get close to 45 and Granlund will get to 60.
I don't think either of them get... maybe
that Eklund. Power play is on fire
right now. It is. I don't think Zetterlund gets to 45 points. I think he's right under the radar there. The other thing I was going to bring up, and it just hit me. We were talking about goal differential.
Oh, yeah.
And we asked about, do you think... Where's the camera? There it is. Do you think... They're going to get to a minus 150. Now, they have five games left. Mm-hmm. 5 games left. Sharks are a minus 136.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in those 5 games, the goal differential hits hard enough that we get that extra minus 14 to make it an even 150?
No, because they're going to get some wins.
Ooh. So,
again, all hand in hand.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough. No, I'm honestly with you. I don't think we get to minus 150. I think we get a little shy of that. Yeah. And it's not even because of the wins. I think the games are getting a little bit tighter. Just a little bit tighter.
You see what the refs have been doing?
What?
Oh, my God. They're calling everything.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's like it's a preseason game. It's crazy. And Addison got kicked out 2 games in a row.
Malachi Nunes, as long as we get Celebrini, I don't care. Any of these stats that we're talking about, he's like, whatever. It doesn't matter. Hey, man, it just makes the season a little bit more fun to watch. Paul, stop him. Stop who?
You.
Me?
Me?
Stop him?
Stop me, I guess. Aaron's jinxing us.
Oh, all right. Aaron, anything else? Oh, yeah, I see you want to talk about fantasy hockey.
Yeah, this is the trophy for fantasy hockey, which is right here. And we are in the finals this week. So nice. By the next show, next week, we will have a winner. And I just had it up. It is between Will Nye, the science guy, who was in 6th in the last playoff spot, versus... Nui Shark Sauce, who was in 2nd place. And the finals will be done at the end of Sunday night, so we'll know by Monday who's going
to
win.
Yeah, be able to announce the winner.
And then I don't know if you can see it, but the name is hand-stamped into the trophy.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a heck of a job.
You take your hammer and your little...
It's a hand stamp.
Yeah.
So each letter, I hammer each letter in. And the numbers. So last year's Graham Montgomery, who was on the show, 22/23, Graham Montgomery.
Yeah.
It's on there forever.
Is that whiteout? Did you make a mistake?
It's not whiteout.
Is that whiteout?
It nice. Is not easy to do. And in my other league, the one I've been doing for 18 years now, we have a almost 1-to-1 replica of the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And I did the same thing. We had a trophy that was about this size before, and we'd filled it up. So I had to get a new one. So I was like, well, let's get the real one.
Sure.
So we got practically the real one. And it spent 3 nights backdating all the winners around the trophy. It took forever.
Jeez.
It was a lot of work.
It sounded like it took 3 nights.
Yeah. It Three full nights. It was long.
Oh, Sharks Oregon says, asking again. Sorry, we must have missed it. Any chance Pavs comes back to lead the kids next year if he wins a cup this year and we overpay him?
If he wins a cup, I wouldn't be shocked if he retired.
If he wins a cup, I think he's either done or maybe he just kind of gives one last little tour with the Dallas Stars and then that'd probably be it. I don't know how much we want to reveal here because I know that there was something about him not coming back to San Jose ever.
Well, he sold his house.
Yeah. Okay, he sold his house. But there was also we're not going to go into it. It's okay. But I doubt that Joe Pavelski would come back to San Jose.
He's from, I know he went to school in Wisconsin. Was he from Wisconsin? Can't remember where he's from.
Plover? I want to say it's Plover. Nick is going to just warrior type this out right now. I'm telling you, you guys. Plover, Wisconsin? I want to say Plover. I could be wrong.
Let's see.
If I just keep saying Plover, though.
Maybe it's Plover.
Hey! There we go. He's born in Plover,
Wisconsin, so he is from Wisconsin. yeah. Anyway, I believe his wife is from there, too, and I think they wanted to kind of make their way back there. Yeah. Yeah. So especially if they win a cup, I have a feeling he retires.
He's just, I'm done. Yeah.
I mean, he's 39. He's turning 40 in July.
See now that's old. That's old.
Wow.
Yeah. 30, not so much. Tomas Hertl, just a little bit, you know, he's a young buck, 30 years old, you know? But 40, yeah. I mean, I'm 42. I tried to stand up earlier today and my back was killing me.
Oh, man.
All I did was sit there. That's all I did. Don't get old, all you kids. Paul is correct. Yeah, my back hurts.
I shoveled dirt yesterday, and I'm dying today. I'm dying. My back is.
This has turned into the I'm too old show. My back is killing me factor.
I forgot my cane.
Chiropractor factor.
Train the Vegas.
Chiropractor factor.
I like that one. Pretty good. Not bad. Okay, I think we're done talking about all that stuff. Guys, I appreciate you being in the chat. And if anybody did happen to reach out to someone and that someone is in the chat right now, welcome. I hope you enjoyed the show. We do this all the time, but if you hit the subscribe button, you won't have to worry about when we're doing it because it'll just tell you so long as you hit the notification bell. Aaron, why are you laughing at me?
Because you're just funny,
dude. I'm doing the best I can here. Someone's got to promote the show and you don't know what the heck you're doing. However, you can support me personally by hitting the like button because anytime you see a thumbs up and the like, I know that you're talking about me and not this guy. So please smash that like button. Let him have it. So there you go. Enjoy the stream. Give us a like. Thank you, Super Jason.
Likes are going down.
He's
now.
Dang it, you guys. You're screwing it up. Screwing it up. If you want to help support the show, who was it? Was it Kellen that gave us the super chat there?
No, Ryan Sontag.
Ryan Sontag, thank you. Yeah. Kellen was the one that went to bed, that's why. Yeah. Ryan Sontag, Ryan Sontag, thank you so much for the $5 super chat earlier in the show. Do appreciate that so much. It does help the show a lot. And if you want to be as supportive and awesome as Ryan Sontag, please, you can do the same thing. Go to the super chat button somewhere down below there, or you can use Venmo and tip us on Venmo at the Fin Factor. Anything that you put in there comment-wise, we'll go ahead and read on the show. If we do not do it during this show, we can do it during the next show. This is my symbol for next show. I do this thing. So there you go. You can also support us and get something in return by going to thefinfactor.com, checking out the store, getting any of the merch that we have there available, hats, shirts, sweatshirts, t-shirts. We sell tombstones now, which is amazing. And if you don't believe me, check the store and see what's actually there. So, hey, man, you could die letting everybody know that you were an avid Sharks fan, okay?
Costco?
I'm just saying. Just saying. There's going to be a Fin Factor cruise at a discount you watch. Aaron, Spotify, spit it. Go ahead.
Spotify. Find us on Spotify. Just search the Fin Factor under podcast and you will find us. That way you don't have to look at Paul because he talks like he's Italian with his hands.
Like I am Italian.
Yeah, I know.
It's what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I guess that's it. Aaron, any last comments? There's one comment there from Nick HBK right near the bottom there. Super Just Jason.
It says Paul is incorrect.
No, it's... Paul is correct. And he won't put it on the screen. I see how it is. The Scholl brothers. Oh, there it is. There it is. Thanks,
did.
Nick. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you, buddy.
Paul's blind. He didn't see it the first time.
I saw it the first time. I want to say it twice.
His hands are in the way.
Okay. We good? You good?
Good.
I'm good. Guys, appreciate the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. This is I love doing this every week. So, for Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will see you guys
next week.
Next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.